You're listening to a 9 to 5.cc podcast.
Like, I should have been able to get here on time. But, like, the measure just, like, fuck me as much as possible. Did you use the measure here?
I haven't this time. I've used it before.
Yeah.
I've never had it sober, but I get fucked by the Bixie all the time.
I don't even bother that.
Completely Bixie fucked. Totally. Because I don't have data on my phone, so I can't...
Figure out... No,
you don't know where the empty ones are or whatever.
Where they are around, especially if you're running late.
Hold on. Just take a look. This light lights up. That's bad. I'll try and keep an eye on the levels. Don't, it's just for muting. If you're gonna like violently, if you're gonna violently cough, you can press it. But other than that, you're good to go.
All right.
So yeah, that was a nice intro talking about Bixies and metros.
Oh,
and
we're recording.
Oh yeah, of course.
Happening.
Everyone is fucking.
You always catch them by surprise.
That's everyone is sweating their fucking balls off here.
Sweating
in
so hard.
Day.
I booked it over here too, like in this goddamn.
You like jogged,
and I shouldn't be booking it anywhere. Like.
You're like, I'm a big man with a beard.
But nevertheless, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy about the guests that we have on today.
John Bennett?
Yeah.
John Bennett. I was hoping there was no weird, like
JonBenet.
It's JonBenet.
Yeah, no, I've been called JonBenet.
That would be unfortunate.
Ever since that little girl. Yeah.
You did the reverse Colbert on yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It used to be Benet, but now it's Bennett.
Like, yeah, yeah. I did it once that happened. Once that little girl and my nana called me and... was really upset and thought that my parents had murdered me. Yeah.
You're like, you lost a lot of weight and you apparently dyed your hair blonde, joined preschool pageantry.
She knew I was performing in something.
So
just to specify, this is another sub-episode in our special Fringe series.
Fringe series of mini-sodes. We have this
yeah.
current star of My Dad's Deaths.
Yep, that's correct.
I saw on... You did a show on Monday? Does
yeah,
that make sense?
Maybe.
Possibly the best title of any show.
Oh, really?
I think maybe only supplanted by his previous show, which was
right.
Pretending things are a cock. Yep.
I never got to see that show, but I took great joy every time I saw the poster.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the poster for this one.
Yeah,
is exactly
it's
the same.
Back. Yeah, it's great. It's great. I love it.
I had a big argument with my producer, manager lady in Australia, because when I wanted to do Dad's Deaths for the Melbourne Comedy Festival,
okay.
I hate having my face on things. And she's like, you've got to have your head on because that's what people recognize and all this other stuff. Because
no.
My original poster, I wanted to just be a black background with a white cross that says sort of My Dad's Deaths in a cross thing.
Okay.
I just wanted that to be it. And then she said, nah, you've got to put your face. And we had this big argument. Then I said, well, fuck it. All right, I'll use exactly the same thing that I've used every other time.
I used the same poster as last time.
Well, and then this time, if I'm not mistaken, it's deaths that's standing
yeah,
for, your,
deaths
for the cock.
Is, yeah,
right?
Making
yeah.
my cock. Yeah.
So you basically, I don't know if this is really a spoiler. I think it's all biography related. You made some money with a sale and then lived... not necessarily the dream, but like a dream of traveling around taking pictures of things.
Someone's
pretending
dream.
It was your
dream. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, not that's necessarily the dream, but it's dream.
It's a dream of someone's. No, to be honest, I didn't expect it to become a thing. I do that in the Cox show,
yeah.
where it's just a thing that I started doing with a friend of mine, with my housemate.
Okay.
And he was the first one to post stuff, just as... between friends, and my friends thought it was funny, and then it sort of took off from there. And then I just went, I did sell my house and just went, well, fuck, I'm going to travel for a year. And then I thought, well, let's see what happens. Let's make something out of it. And I started taking photos over there when I was traveling. And then my friend, another friend who's a professional photographer, said, let's make this something. And he came over, and I just went, all right, let's do it. And so we started really taking photos.
So did you start around the house, and you were like, what could be a cock in my house?
No, it was more, it was really juvenile, like I'd be brushing my teeth, and I'd go out to my housemate, and then just go, hey, Simon, and just like, do that stuff all the time. And yeah, you know, with a spoon or anything, or, yeah, the remote.
So you went, I've seen the photos, you've been pretty much all around the world, more or less.
Like, more or less. I've been to a lot of places, but I haven't been cocking all these places.
Okay.
But yeah.
So, like, when you made it to North Korea, you weren't, like, just pretending things are cocks in North Korea. It didn't go over as well.
No, no. Well, there's... Yeah, I did get... what would you call... I got, a citizen's arrest in... where was it? It was in Argentina.
I was going to ask if you'd ever gotten in trouble for this.
Yeah, a taxi driver.
What'd you do in Argentina?
I made the Argentinian flag a cock, and this taxi driver forced me into the back of his cab and drove me to the police station.
Really?
Yeah.
Now
yelling at me.
Did you try to resist at all?
Or? I didn't really know what was going on. Like,
I think it's when you're like, you just roll with it.
Yeah, and to be honest, because I do a lot
of
storytelling.
You got like an Argentinian hack on your case, man. Like,
yeah. It was intense at the time. But yeah, like I didn't really know what was going on. And to be honest, every time something like that sort of thing happens, because I do lots of storytelling, I run a lot of storytelling stuff in Melbourne and everything. The whole time I am going, shit, I could be in big trouble. But then I'm also going, this could be something, you know?
And you're so, like, as long as I don't get hurt or killed,
this
might fucking work out to everyone's benefit.
Yeah. So, he took me to the police station for, I don't know, defaming the flag or something like that. And,
were the cops having it? Or were the cops just sort of like, come on, cabbie?
Yeah. And it was almost like they went, another one.
Unless he shows pictures. Like, I mean,
he took the camera off me, and he went through, like, the photos on the camera.
Cab driver's got a lot of balls, man.
Yeah. Well, Argentinians are very...
So he went through the camera, and of course, just like photo after photo of you pretending things are dicks, and you're like, well,
it's all
other
coming
flags
together
in here
it?
Too. You know?
Well, that's what I said to, because the cabbie didn't speak English, and I was just like saying, you know, comedia, El Libro, it's a book, and all that. My only Spanish, comedia means food. I thought it meant comedy or something. And the policeman went through, and I said, can you tell him that, you know, I've done it to the Australian flag, I've done it to the American flag, it's not this disrespectful thing, it's everything sort of thing. And then I said, the policeman was happy with that.
Yeah.
And he said, can you delete the Argentinian flag one? And I think he'll be okay with that.
Why
so
not?
I did that.
And then just take another picture like 5 minutes later.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
You're like, here's me pretending the Argentinian flag is a cock in an Argentinian police station.
Yeah. I should have just grabbed one up and...
with a little one on the table there. It's just like... I mean, I guess you're not to say you're lucky, because I really don't think it's that serious of an offense, but if for whatever reason you caught a ball-busting Argentinian cop, he could have been like, you know what? It was also a crime in those countries. I'm pretty sure to face like fucking around with the flag is technically on the books as a crime.
I think you might have actually
pretty much
jail
everywhere.
Time. You might have actually
yeah, it could have been one of those weird rules.
In the States, like in the U.S., you might have actually done
jail
time.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, well, I did the American flag at the Statue of Liberty.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Just pretend the Alamo was a cock. Just the whole Alamo.
Yeah. Well, I've done that too. What did I do that to? Machu Picchu.
Nice.
The entirety of Machu Picchu. Cock.
If you could go to like San Francisco and maybe get like on the beach, and if you could lie in just a way that Alcatraz would be your cock.
I've got Alcatraz cock.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll show it to you.
The rock thought of it. He's like, been there.
Got the rock cock.
The rock cock. Yeah.
And also the Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge.
Of course.
That was it. I was like, San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge is the obvious cock, but I'm like, the Rock is also...
No, we lined it. We lined it up at the end of a pier thing, like next to it, and it's beautiful. It worked out really well.
No, but I'm surprised they didn't... Oh, no, I'm saying, I'm sure there's some Americans who bust balls, because they're pretty fucking serious about their flags, right?
Yeah. I think Argentinians, more because I didn't understand it, and this guy probably, the tax driver, you know, fucking tourist... How dare you? And I was actually lying underneath this huge flag, and everyone was watching, and it was this weird thing. And he actually picked me up from under the flag, and by the back of the neck, and forced me into the cab. And I remember I told the policeman, I said, can you explain this? I explained it to the policeman who spoke English, and he did think it was funny. And then I said, can you tell this taxi driver that if he gives me his address, I'll post him a book. When it's done.
I'm sure that's what he wanted.
Just to show that you were like, no, I'm not just
it's a book,
fucking around.
This sounds like the kind of guy who would have that kind of sense of humor.
Yeah. But I thought it would be like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was a bit freaked out. But I just thought it would be a gesture that it's actually something real and I wasn't messing around. And so he did give me his business card and he shook my hand. He still looked upset. I never sent him a book.
You should. You should get on
no,
that.
No, I don't think
add
so.
Add it to your to-do list. Send yeah. the book years after the fact. He'll be like, it's the guy.
Yeah, yeah. Just see him. We could have just, yeah, see this taxi driver years later.
And the
just,
cover of the book will be the Argentinian flag.
Yeah.
Like, what's one of those movies there where there's, like, the serial killer and, like, the room with, like, your picture and, like, the threads
yeah,
connecting
yeah.
all the different photos from the book and being like, I'll find him. Fuck.
That would be brilliant.
It's just this weird Argentinian taxi driver who's, like, has this weird John Bennett obsession.
Well, I was pretty sure he was probably, like most people in Argentina, I think, are Catholic.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'd also made the big Jesus in Brazil, in Rio.
Ouch.
And I thought he would definitely not like that. And there was also there's a religious theme park. I'm not kidding. A Catholic religious theme park in Buenos Aires.
I've seen photos
really?
Of it. Yeah,
which
yeah,
has
yeah,
like
yeah.
robotic Jesus.
I want to go there now.
It's pretty amazing. Robotic Last Supper, like actual
yeah, yeah.
they're
that
robots.
It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, but with Jesus.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
And all the people who work there are dressed as like Israelites or yeah, yeah, or
Romans
Roman
guards
and
whatever.
You can do the thing where you put your head in their sort of thing and get a photo taken as like a Roman.
Oh, I thought it was like on the crucifix.
Oh no, that would be pretty
Christ.
Awesome. No, that
oh,
would
wow.
be great.
And just sort of like the Bible doesn't name the two whatever regular prisoners who were next
yeah.
to Jesus, but it could be you. You know, you just get up there next to Jesus and hang out.
Yeah.
Photo op.
You could
I'm
be Barabbas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I read an article about the place, how they were just sort of like, how it kind of, like, simultaneously takes itself seriously
yeah.
as a religious theme park, but, like, seems so over the top and kitschy that you're like, how could this really be done with reverence? You
it
know,
is
like,
it is unbelievable. It's that episode, you know, The Simpsons, where they go to the restaurant or whatever, and all the robots have that sort of flappy mouth,
yeah,
and
yeah,
one
yeah.
falls
yeah,
off.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
yeah. It's quite like that. And they even put little disclaimers on some of them. They said, like, this, the Last Supper, Jesus is so realistic that people weep.
And
he is
there?
Not at all.
Like wheels up, like
yeah, yeah. You can hear the little engines going
click, 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 like whatever else like that.
You were weeping because it was so crappy. What a crappy Jesus!
Yeah, but you must—it must be like weird. You must try not to be like just busting out laughing all the time. Like,
yeah, we were, and we felt there were times when it felt quite disrespectful. And this was after the
arrest
taxi, yeah. And I just went, just keep it quiet and stuff. But oh. I did some cocks there as well, which I didn't put in the book, I don't think. Like a Roman spear stabbing someone sort of thing. I went behind that.
But I mean, like, was a place not half full of, like, hipsters appreciating it, ironically? Or,
no, I don't think. There were hardly anyone there when we went there.
You can release it, like, I mean, you wouldn't be releasing it because it'd be posthumously, but you can, like, have someone in your estate being, like, release the Book of Secret Cocks. Like, John Bennett's posthumous release of, like,
yeah.
cocks he didn't want you to know about while he was alive.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Featuring a whole chapter on Dachau.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, oh, shit.
I'm sorry.
See, this
I'm
is
sorry.
The other thing, though. I've been to Dachau, but I didn't do any cocks.
No, that's just a good idea.
You're like, the thought no. entered your head, and you were like, nope. That
yeah,
because
it will ruin your life, this thing. Everything you see.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard, who was it? They, when Kevin Smith went to Europe, touring clerk, so like
yeah yeah
like,
I was there, I saw that talk with
yeah,
you
yeah yeah yeah
that's
like,
really
like,
funny
he's like kind of like poor guy out in New Jersey and whatever else like that, and was like hitting Europe, and they were like, well, what do we do in Germany? And they were like, well, we'll go to Dachau or Auschwitz, one or the other.
It was
Dachau
yeah.
And they were just sort of like, it was sort of weird because it was like a press junket in the morning, like, woo, Clerks, amateur filmmaker, and then they were like, then we went to Dachau for the afternoon, and then we were expected to come back and do like dinner afterwards, and they were like, what?
Oh, so this is when they released Clerks.
Yeah, when they released
yeah.
Clerks. Like
yeah,
in the mid-90s, and they were just sort of like...
It was a fun day in Germany.
Exactly, it was just like such a downer, and they were like, we don't want to go to one of the parties tonight. Like,
yeah, that was what it was like for me.
But no, but
well.
Then meanwhile, Mosier was getting late. Remember, that was the other half of that story. Because like they all went to Dachau, and then Mosier stayed back and like and hooked up with some random
yeah,
German
yeah,
girl.
Yeah. But either way, they were just sort of like, it'll be a fun day in Germany. And like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say it's, you know, culturally and historically important to go see, but...
So yeah,
not in like in the middle of like a hustle and bustle of like a European film fest, like just sneak in the trip. You're like, maybe not.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So let's transition now from this talk of concentration camps to your new show this year. I'm all about the transitions.
It's fucking smooth.
My dad's death.
Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of a show. It's a lot more personal, I guess. I did it for the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
More personal than pretending things are cucks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, surprisingly so.
Yeah.
And it's kind of my dad. Well, see, this is a good transition. My dad is a Pentecostal minister, so it's sort of about his. I don't know how he responded to me doing sort of comedy stuff,
right,
and this sort of really juvenile thing, such as pretending things are a cock, and my relationship with him as me trying as a sort of a comedian, and him being this very serious, proud minister. He's also a school teacher, and he's like sort of this pillar of the community, and my sort of relationship with him, and also that he is an extremely funny man without knowing that he's funny.
So, I think as many dads are,
yeah,
you know, like dads are just sort of like super hilarious when you really pull apart and like think about them often, but they're like they're not intentionally.
No, being no, or, and even when they are, when they try to intentionally be funny, they're not.
Or
that's
it's funny,
a,
or
that's
it's
a
funny
massive
in
generalization,
a different way.
But yeah,
you know, it's just sort of like when they're trying to be funny, it's not the humor that they intend.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And you're just sort of like, ah, I mean, my dad honestly doesn't know about almost anything that I do.
Yeah, right.
Like I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. Both my parents are practicing Jehovah's Witnesses. So
right.
it's just easier to ignore them. I still try to like talk with them and stuff like that, but I'm like, they're not going to approve of anything. So it was like, watching your show, I was kind of I was like, so that's what it would have been like if I told them, you know, like
yeah, right,
kind of like I sort of avoided it.
Well, I did as well for most of my life. Like I don't really know what my parents think necessarily about what I do,
right?
Because I keep it a secret. Like I've kept stuff a secret from them for ages. I kept the Cox a secret for a year or something.
Until it was in your hometown in a giant art exhibit?
Yeah, they found out on,
well,
on Facebook.
Without you telling, like...
No, I did not tell them at all.
That's rough.
Actually, the way that I found out that they knew is it was... I went home for Christmas, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and there was this giant Christmas tree, and I said, I've got it. My parents were with me, and I ran... we ran away for a bit. We said we just got to do this thing, and we ran away and went to this other side of the Christmas tree and got a photo and stuff. We're going to the photo, and we came back, and my mum was standing there just watching me. And
it's like a huge reveal. She's like, "I know."
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was like, yeah, just she knew that I was gay or something. It was that kind of, you know. And
you don't have to hide anymore, John.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what it was. She said, "I know what you do." And I said, "Well, I did the whole exactly what you were doing." I just went, "Oh, what do you mean? Like, I don't know. What do you mean? What I do?" She goes, "We know about you. This thing that you're doing." And I said, "Oh, it's not
yeah,
as
exactly.
yeah, yeah, yeah." yeah. And I said, "It's not as bad as what you think." My mom said, "Don't worry." And then she said, "Like, I've done one."
Nope.
So my mom has a cock.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like when you say it, like,
what was your
I'm sure it's like a normal photograph, but because it's a mom, I imagine it to be like a Polaroid or something. Like,
yeah,
a real,
no, it's a film.
It's
a
film one. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's why I couldn't see it. I asked to see it, and she said, no, it's on a roll of film somewhere.
Have you yet to see it?
I've got it now. It took me ages to get her to give it to me. It was a crane that lowers boats into a river.
That's not nice. Bad. That's a pretty good one.
It's a pretty good cock.
I gotta say.
And I posted it on the site.
Nice.
I don't think she
cool
knows that I did that.
I think that's pretty cool of her. Yeah.
But that's my mum.
Yeah.
My mum and my dad are...
Okay, yeah. So your dad didn't have one.
My dad would never do one.
No.
Never.
Okay, no.
Like, and do you talk about exactly like the relationship with your dad a little bit, whatever else like that. And I don't want to pry or ruin the show or anything
yeah,
else like that, but
right.
like, do you have some sort of a... like relationship now with your dad, or is he just sort of like, you know what, you do what you want to do, you're still my son, that's great. Or are you like, because I don't know, like personally, I still have tons of tension between my parents. Or
yeah, well, I still feel like my dad is or was kind of proud of me.
that's
in a way. I think in comparison to, I've got three older brothers. And I talk about this a little bit as well. In comparison to my other brothers, I'm doing pretty well. So, one of my brothers, my oldest brother, loves bongs more than oxygen. So he just, like, is constantly... He
smoked himself
yeah.
silly.
So, which, you know, fair enough. Good for him.
Life choice.
But he's, like, a plumber. And my other brother is... he was all right. He was quite religious as well growing up. And then my other brother is in jail. So Jesus. He's been in jail twice.
That's...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always, like... I guess if ever I had to have the argument with my parents,
yeah,
like it's not that I'd be like I'm better than my brother. I wouldn't like necessarily go that, but I'd be like, listen, like the alternatives would really be me just like working a 9-to-5, coming home every day, and I really wouldn't be that excited to do
yeah.
that. You know, it's just sort of like at least if you're doing stuff on the side and you're doing stuff for yourself and whatever else. Like, I think that's something about our. I'm saying our. I don't know how old you are. I'm 29, but
yeah.
You're 29 also.
Yeah, we're all 29.
But that's it. But there's something about, like, at least our generation in comparison to our parents' generation is that, like, we're much more willing to maybe, like, put ourselves out a little bit and do something that makes us happy, even if our parents would be like, no, you need to work a 9-to-5 and you need to, like, live your life.
But my parents never ever instilled that upon me, though.
But they probably live that way anyway.
I mean, my dad was, like, a elementary school educator. Grade school, so I mean, he had summers off. So, like, I mean, I guess it was pretty close to 9-to-5. My mom as well, but yeah. I don't know. It was just never a big deal.
I don't know. Like both, like my mom was a bit of a like '60s revolutionary flower power girl out of Washington kind of thing. My dad, like, my dad was like in a band and like hung out with bikers in Montreal and like all this and that, and then they met each other, found religion, and it was like done, and now we're making a family.
Right.
And I was just sort of like, I'm like, what the fuck happened? You know, like, I'm like, how did you go from that?
How do you find Jehovah's Witnessery?
You know, when they come to your door and you tell them to
what
go
do you call
away?
It? What do you call it, by the way? Like, if you're a Christian, what is, you practice
what
is Christianity.
They, what do you call it, or what do they call it?
If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you practice
what they
Jehovahism.
Call it is really specific. They call it. The truth with a capital T.
Wow.
Yeah. Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus. They believe he's a person, but they don't believe that
he's
the
they
son
believe
of
he's the
God.
Messiah.
That's Jews.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jehovah's Witnesses believe...
it's close, though.
What do I know?
Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the whole Bible is, like, the only holy text. There's no saints. There's no anything. And that the Bible is... Except when it's being... when it's, like, being philosophical or whatever. Like, obviously, they don't believe the Book of Revelation is a literal book because it's dragons and whatever. But everything else they believe is history. Like Adam and Eve was a real thing.
Yeah.
And Moses was a real thing and whatever else like that. So unless someone is saying it's a vision, they're like, no, it happened.
Okay.
So it's a very super, like, fundamental core whatever. So it's, like, it's pretty fucking strict. Like,
yeah.
And that's it. And it's just like, I don't really understand how my parents just sort of like abandoned everything and chose like a job.
They answered the door, man.
Born again.
They answered the door. Yeah. Almost
they,
like
they
born
answered
again.
The door. They didn't tell them to go away. That's what happens. This
exactly.
is why.
You're saying this is a cautionary tale? If
yeah.
you don't tell them to go
don't
away,
don't answer
you
the
stop
door.
Being a biker and a drummer in a band.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, my parents are opposite. They're Pentecostal, so they're like. You know, the whole Jesus and people getting slain and falling on the ground. And,
have
you
ever
know.
Handled a snake?
Yeah, I have.
But for religious purposes?
No.
No, okay.
But yeah, they're like, you know, big singing and choirs and the whole deal.
Well, that part's kind of cool. Like I'm down with that part. Like,
If you were going to be Christian, they're probably the coolest sect of Christianity, I would think.
Like, they're up there with, like, the, what are, is it the Pentecostals are the same as, like, the...
Pentecostals are the singing and talking in tongues and...
Okay. So, like when the priest, like shakes and,
like,
wants to leave and it's kind of like a James Brown bit and then they're like, no, and he's got more of the word to tell you and stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, my parents will come and visit, well, when they would come and visit me in Melbourne, so we'd be at a bar. I take them to a bar for, like, a pub meal.
Yeah.
And they would make me hold hands and say grace. You know,
I've got my...
Yeah, in the middle of a fucking bar.
Was it like a really... did they do, like, a subtle prayer, or did they do, like, a full, like, Pentecostal, like, hardcore prayer?
They don't yell.
Okay.
But they make us all hold hands.
Okay.
And I keep my eyes open and can see everyone watching
us. You're, like,
us.
Looking around.
And just looking at people, just shaking my head, going, it's not real.
Someone catches your eye, and you're like, I'm... against my will.
Yeah. They're forcing my hand.
It's them.
Yeah.
So, man, my dad's dead.
Sorry, we keep getting off track.
I know. This is my job. This is my only purpose on this podcast is to try to rein it in. Now, my dad's death.
Because you have no newspaper to distract you.
Right. It's shut up. My dad's death is called my dad's death because.
Because I grew up thinking my dad was going to die all the time. Because he's a very melodramatic man. And I only came up with it last year. Because there's been so many times in my life where something has happened to my dad and I've thought, fuck, this is it. He's dead. He's died for good this time. There's like over, I think in the show there's over, like 30 deaths.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of deaths. And no, I'm not talking like, you know, he stumbled and fell or anything like that. I'm talking like I've looked at my mum and gone, he's dead now.
And you bore witness
to a few of them
personally,
and the other ones are stories from brothers and my mom and stuff about all the times we've thought that he was dead.
You're the youngest child again.
I'm the youngest. Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
29 years old.
29
years old. Yeah. So my oldest brother is like 41, I think. So my parents are
That's quite a generation gap between 29 and 41. Yeah.
Massive baby boomers.
Yeah.
So I think they had him when dad was like 21.
Yeah.
So that's that sort of generational gap as well, is like, you know.
And was your dad into extreme sports at all?
I think he just, like...
No.
No.
He's just a real... He's but just like, a very interesting character.
You did grow up, at least, like, in Australian farmland?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, there was a little bit more danger than just, like, your...
Before I've been told, I mean, you step off the plane in Australia and you're standing on death's door, from what I've understood.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would die like within minutes of
if you walk outside the city too long, you'll die.
Yeah.
Every animal is poisonous.
You know? Pretty much.
Were there any animal encounters?
Yeah, my dad. This one of them. My dad was attacked by not one but two sharks.
What?
Not on separate occasions at the same time.
At the same. That's what I figured. Yeah. What kind of sharks?
Not
one hammerhead and one great white.
Yeah. Not the huge ones, but sharks.
Good lord.
Yeah, which was pretty funny. That's a story that I've been told. I was not witness to that one.
The other side of this coin is that one, your dad had all these near death experiences, but two, your dad's like the biggest badass in the world.
It is that thing. Like
your dad just shrugs it off.
It's a very intense man. And
is he a big guy?
He's a very stocky man,
uh-huh.
And he's incredibly strong because he's a farmer and you know he's old school, really old school. So I can tell you the shark attack one was when he was a younger man, and he was spear fishing, and
of course because you know as
to do
tough guys are wont to do.
And he does things that are kind of illogical and like normal people would look at it and just go that's really stupid, but my dad just goes it's not stupid. He's definitely not stupid. He's incredibly intelligent. He's got his two PhDs and this sort of thing. But he
and
just
badassery.
Sometimes he just doesn't think things through or everything. Yeah. So anyway, he was spearfishing and he was spearing these fish, these bleeding fish, putting them into a Hessian sack tied around his ankle.
In the water,
because he didn't. Because you know,
that
won't attract sharks
at all.
To bring the fish in.
Right.
And so these sharks just followed the trail of blood and attacked the sack around his ankle.
Oh, man.
Which kind of was, you know, they didn't attack him because he wasn't part of the sack. They went for the fish.
Right.
You can have like a bag full of bleeding steaks and you just like run around a bunch of dogs. And you're like, why are these dogs following me?
Yeah. But things like that he does that just bamboozle me as to why he would do these things.
Did he ever try to do like a skateboard jump over the ravine?
No. What did he do? Oh, he did something else crazy. This isn't in the show or anything, but he drove a tractor, and we had to. He was picking up because he loves bargains. So the local school had this shed. This is really funny. I've only just thought of this. He had this shed that they wanted to get rid of. So instead of dismantling the shed, my dad took like the things off the bottom. The tractor had like a front end loader thing, and he picked it up, so it was sitting on top of the tractor, and then opened the doors of the shed and drove the tractor home. So it was like a moving shed. So because it was a smallish kind of shed, but he's completely enclosed, so it's like
He could just have straight tunnel vision. Yeah, that's all he's got. Directly in front of him.
And so he could only turn it like that, like a small. So he'd have to take the corners really wide and just, yeah,
just sort of like, you don't just let a shed like that go to waste. Come on.
Yeah, that's it. And I also can't be asked in dismantling it because, you know, that's a waste of time. But yeah, so that's
amazing.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, he could have been hit by anything. The shed could have fallen on top of him and crushed him. But that was one he didn't die. He was fine.
He was okay with that.
Yeah. But lots of things like that. His problem-solving skills are incredible.
Slash terrible.
Yes, slash terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much our half hour.
Yeah.
And we probably could have sat here
and talked
for a lot
when
longer.
When do you think you're going to get this one up?
This one will be up tomorrow morning. So you think you still have... Do you have three left?
Yeah, three left. So a show tomorrow.
Which will be today.
Today so at 6:45.
We're looking for a flyer here on the table.
Damn it. Here we go. 6:45 on Thursday.
Okay.
9:15 on Friday. And 2:45 on Sunday. And it's at Petite Campus.
That's a good venue. You got a good
venue.
Yeah,
it's a great little venue.
Yeah.
But yeah, come along to the show.
I'm gonna come for one. Keith went already, but I want to come for sure. So I'll probably come to the Friday one.
It's one that changes a bit.
Wait, like Thursday, right? You said Thursday.
Thursday
tomorrow.
6:45, yeah.
I'm sorry, we're recording in advance. Tonight, kids, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go to that one.
So that's that's My Dad's Debts. Just here talking with John Bennett. I'm Keith.
I'm Walter.
And this
Thanks,
was
John.
A Go Plug Yourself Fringe minisode. Thanks
that was
for listening, guys.
Thanks very much, guys.
As you can fucking see my boat, there's a little dark animal. As you can fucking see my boat, there's a little dark animal. As you can fucking see my boat, there's a little motherfucker. You can see the dog, an animal. As you got a little motherfucker. I can see my boat, as you can fucking see my boat, you're dead.
Hey everyone, hope you enjoyed that very special Fringe episode of Fringe Minisode of Go Plug Yourself. Just to let you guys know, we have three more Fringe-related episodes that we're going to be releasing in the next day or two with four different Fringe artists. We're actually going to have some episodes with Zach Adams from A Complete History of Zach Adams, Sam Mullins from Tinfoil Dinosaur, Yana Kasala from Ukrainian Dentist Daughter, and Elizabeth Blue from 1 Week with the Shaman. So Zach Adams and Elizabeth Blue are actually going to be doing their show together because they're buddies, they're pals, I guess, from the Fringe. So we have three more Fringe episodes that are coming up in the next day or two. So keep it locked on 9to5.cc. Be sure to add us on iTunes, because if you're enjoying the Go Plug Yourself shows, we do these usually once every 2 weeks with local Montreal artists, musicians, comedians, actors, whatever. And of course, we also next week we're going to have a brand new episode of the 9to5 Entertainment System, which is a little geekier, but you know, I mean, we give us some love, people. So yeah, put us on iTunes, either that or check us out on the website. But yeah, keep listening to 9to5 Podcast. You guys have been great and super supportive throughout the Fringe, and thank you all for listening. And now the nice lady's gonna tell you to thank you for listening also again. It's gonna be a little weird.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.